We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at WynnBET, W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. Jeff Erickson here with Chris Liss. Week one is one game away from being in the books. We always do the recap, though, on Monday mornings, and a lot of surprises, as there is every single week of the season, but there's a lot of things I feel like I need to readjust in terms of my assumptions. A lot of things kind of got right, so let's just jump right into that, Chris. Biggest disappointment for me was the Packers. Not that I'm rooting for them, but I thought they'd win and win comfortably. I thought the Saints would be pretty bad. They were not. It was completely the opposite. The Packers looked awful. Their offensive line couldn't protect Rodgers. Rodgers looked terrible. And the Saints were efficient. They weren't prolific offensively, but they were very efficient.
Yeah, my disappointment was not betting on the Saints, making them one of my best bets and using them in the Super Contest, because I kind of knew the Saints were going to be good. I saw something, maybe it was Dalton or someone, that had their offensive line, Pro Football Focus or ESPN or one of those sites, had their offensive line as number one in the NFL. And I just felt like Green Bay's soft, right? They're a finesse team. And if you have like the number one offensive line and a stout defensive line that's tough to run on, I thought it would be a game that the Saints would be able to control. And I didn't think it would be a blowout win for the Saints, obviously. So I was a little disappointed. Like, there were two, and you're going to be ahead in our bets because you took the Eagles money line. That was another one that I really liked, and I didn't make it a best bet, though we did use it in the Super Contest. And those were two, like, the other ones I felt that we used, they sounded good, but they were sort of the market priced all of it in. But those were two that people weren't really thinking. They kind of thought that, like, my mic's not working according to
Native Astra says, I can hear you fine, but I don't know if everybody else can. That's the weird part. But
hold on. Let me keep talking, Jeff. Just fill it up.
All right. So, yeah, I you're right. I'm on Force the Bet. I did take the Eagles, and that worked out pretty well. Always nice to get off to get a start there. I forgot. Who did you take?
How about now? Is that better?
I think you sound good.
Okay, all right. Well, no, I mean, I want the listeners to be able to hear, but this is weird.
Yeah. Okay. He says right. Nope, but.
Okay. So, but that's not good. I guess it's okay as long as it can record on the actual podcast. But very strange. It's not working all of a sudden.
I'm going to try to turn up your
volume. I'm plugged in, man. I'm plugged in.
Yeah. I don't know what you can edit your mic volume by the, you know, this is fun. If you see those little three dots.
Yeah.
Edit mic settings. Edit mic volume. See if that helps a little bit.
Yeah, it's not doing anything. It's the right mic. It's plugged in.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Hold on.
Anyways, there were a couple of interesting money line bets. People who took the Browns were pretty close to pulling that one off. Browns didn't embarrass themselves, that's for sure. But they did not pull it off in the end. Chiefs, you know, skated out at the end of that. So it could have been another underdog that won. Yeah. The funny thing though is I did horribly in picks. I got the forced bet correct, but you know, if, you know, when it comes to like, I tried to, I thought not, I had the football team was my best bet. I thought that the Bills would roll. They were embarrassing. I thought Tennessee would cover. They were embarrassing. I was wrong about Saints Packers. I was wrong about a lot of things. You did have the Browns. That's right. Okay. So
I had a money line. I had a money line.
There you go. And, you're much better now.
Okay, good. I had a money line and it looked good for a bit, but I don't want to even say it was close because they got up 9 with like 10 minutes left and the Chiefs scored in like 2 seconds. It was like at will. And then actually, so I was like, okay, fine. That's the Chiefs. That didn't really surprise me. But then I was like, all right, you know, the Browns have a great offensive line. Just beat the crap out of them and grind them down and win this game. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't move the ball in the second half really at all, especially in the fourth quarter. And I was just like, and Mayfield threw that pick. He was kind of getting, I understand he didn't want to get sacked and he's trying to throw it away and he just didn't have the arm strength and the guy was grabbing his legs while he was trying to throw. But it was just a real fail by them. I mean, that was a big game on the road to win. It was against, you know, who you're going to probably see in the playoffs if you even make the playoffs. And you had to have a good showing. You know, it's one thing if you get a cheap penalty against you or a drop ball in the end zone or something, but they just did not do what they had to do. Chris Jones came in and stuffed the run. They just did not step up. Chubb had a bad fumble, and it really kind of put really made me diminished my view of the Browns. I was like, this team is not a serious contender. It wasn't just that they lost; it's that the Chiefs kind of at will flex their muscles and kind of just shooed them aside, basically.
I'm not really ready to dismiss them as a contender yet, but. And when there were so many other teams I could more readily dismiss, like I'm definitely dismissing the Packers. Maybe this was a one-off. They just had their worst day, but
you remember what Tampa did to them last year in the regular season? They took them apart. The reason why right. I'll say the Packers are still a contender, even though their defense is soft, is that Rodgers, we know how good he is. We know, they almost beat Tampa in the playoffs. Like, you know, there's that stupid field goal that, you know, debatable field goal call
right
by LaFleur. But I mean, it was, you know, they were in that game. It was a tough game. They were one of the four or five best teams last year, no doubt. But like Baker Mayfield, like he's got to play, you know, in adverse conditions and do something. Now, I know they didn't have Beckham, but I don't know if Beckham's ever going to be himself. I was dubious before the season. I thought he was going to play week one. I even have him on the stake league. And I had to sub in MVS because I had Jamal Williams on my bench. Mm-hmm. I was waiting on Beckham. I wish I just put in Jamal Williams. But so I don't know if he's ever going to be the same guy. I liked Njoku. They were using him well. Landry made some plays. But it just – you've got to be able to go down the field. You know, the Bengals, your Bengals, they attacked with Jamar Chase.
Yeah, they did.
You've got to be able to get those splash plays where – you can just throw a 50-yard bomb and make the defense worry about that. If everything's underneath, you got nothing. And the Browns, I need to see them take the top off. I need to see them, especially against a team like the Chiefs. It's great to be able to run, and it can work. But it just showed, like, in this day and age, it's impossible to defend the Chiefs. The defense, it's almost impossible. The Bucs did it, but they got lucky in the Super Bowl that there were some drops and some, opportunities left on the field by the Chiefs. But
That they're playing against an offensive line that was compromised at best.
Yes.
That also has a big part of
Mahomes,
that too.
But even with the heat, Mahomes made some escapes and threw some good balls that the receivers want to hit, like Mecole Hardman in the helmet or, you know, so that's another takeaway. That guy just doesn't exist. Like every year, and I only had drafted in one league this year, but I used to be like, oh, I'm going to take Mecole Hardman. He could be the number two guy in the Chiefs. I just don't think that guy's a player. I mean, it's just week one, but they just never – design a lot of stuff for him ever. And CEH, you can put him in that boat too. He got most of the share in the backfield. They do not check down. They do not throw to him except a couple design throws. And I don't know. I think the ceiling should have been like 1.1, but it's pretty modest.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing there to digest and challenge your assumptions. And you said this on Twitter. Nothing, you know, just throws our assumptions out of the loop, quite like just seeing actual results in the field, seeing week one, seeing that you looked at like your week one observations article and you talked about some of the things that you served to disabuse you of some of your assumptions. Well, and let's hit a few of those. Starting with the Niners, it's Trey Sermon being a healthy scratch. I know there were some reports suggesting that Sermon was struggling a little bit in practice, but no one was out there saying Sermon's going to be a stretch. You're not going to see him at all. If they were, I missed it, and I'm wrong, and I'm sorry that I missed it. But I did not see that at all. I was drafting him as a guy that's eventually going to take over as the starter. The fact that they viewed him behind Elijah Mitchell, behind Jermichael Hasty, whoo! I mean that's burning a sixth round pick on to get him, sixth or seventh round pick to get that guy.
You mean they traded up to get Sermon in the fourth, right? They traded up to get him. And they took Mitchell
third, 88th pick overall. Sorry,
in the third, they traded up for him, and then they took Mitchell in the sixth. And so I do have some Mitchell in a couple leagues. It was funny. I was escorting myself in the prime time for taking the kicker, the Bucks kicker, suck up in the 18th because I wanted a good kicker. I want a good team kicker. Mm-hmm. And that cost me my guy, Kadarius Toney, in the 19th. And I was pissed because I was like, oh, man. I shouldn't have taken a kicker to lose a player I wanted. So I was like, all right, I'll take Elijah Mitchell in the 19th. So, of course, you way rather have Elijah Mitchell than Kadarius Toney right now. So you don't know. You think you made a mistake, but it actually helped me by taking the kicker. I got Mitchell. I also picked him up at the, you know, right before the start of the games. I didn't, you know, when Sermon was scratched too. So, you know, Mostert got hurt, which he just can't stay healthy. And that's just, everyone knows that. And so it's really important, you know, Sermon or Mitchell. I would still hold on to Sermon, but the reason I liked Mitchell was that he's fast. He's as fast as Mostert, or just about as fast. He's like a 4.33 guy, which is blazing for a running back. And, you know, Shanahan likes these guys that can have a cut and then just go to the house. And McKinnon was fast. He was in the Niners backfield last year, a couple years ago. And he just likes really fast running backs. And so, you know, if Mostert gets hurt, well, Sermon's like a 4.6. He's slow. So it really was a weird shift. To be like, oh, Sermon's the guy. But I bought in, you know. I just blame it on Dalton Del Don, who I listen to.
Of course.
And I took him in a couple leagues. And I tweeted about this. I was like, I owned Dalton Del Don and beat Chris List too. When in the third, I knew he was going to take ETN, so I beat him to it, a couple picks ahead of him. And then the fifth, I knew he was desperate for a running back, so I beat him to Sermon in the fifth. So I probably set the min on both those guys, and they're both totally worthless. But again, I would hold on to Sermon just because Hasty's nothing special, and I think that that Sermon will get a chance at some point, but he likes those fast backs, and Mitchell's one of them.
Yeah, well, you know, when you design your draft strategy to own an opponent as opposed to just taking the best player, maybe that needs to be revised.
Don't tell people misinformation, Jeff. The most important thing is to own your opponent and troll when you're drafting. Don't worry, it always works out bad. The thing is, I like those guys. I wouldn't have done it if I didn't like those guys, and I really wanted ETN, and I knew he was going to take him. But I guess what you do in that situation, if you really want ETN in middle of the draft season and you got a mid-third round pick and you know the guy's a sociopath like Dildon's going to take him, you just say, you know what, I'll let him overpay and I'll, in the next draft I'll get him. You know, I'll push up a little bit. I probably pushed it too far. But, you know, easy to say now that he's out for the year. But the Sermon thing is, it was an unforced error because he's a third-round pick rookie. I've seen first-round pick rookies not get work. I've seen second-round pick rookies not get work. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, the other one was, who's the Jets guy again? I can't remember his name anymore. Michael Carter. You know, it's like, oh, Michael Carter going in the sixth round. He's the Jets guy. Well, why? Well, he's running with the ones a little bit. Okay, but has he been named the starter? No. Well, no one else is good there. Oh, I'm sure the coaches will just agree with us. I'm sure they'll make that fourth round Michael Carter and just make him the
starter. They're seeing these guys every day, on every snap, every play. And we're like reading reports of like a snapshot and just using our assumptions. It's hilarious.
Yeah. And so, you know, week one starts and you're like, oh, this is what they really think, you know? And of course, week one's not the end of the season. So, you know, there's going to be more changes. And again, I wouldn't drop Sermon yet, but it's like, yeah, you're like, holy crap, this is not what I thought it was. And sometimes it is what you think it is. Like Jonathan Taylor, he led the team in receiving yards and he was in there on third down. They actually designed a pass to him near the goal line. He got tackled on the two. He obviously led them in rushing. Naheem Hines had, like, you know, good use too. He had like a bunch of catches and, you know, 9 carries, but like that was it. No one else got carries. And in a game flow where the Colts were behind all game, Jonathan Taylor got enough usage in the way that you need. And I was like, good. That's what I had thought. That's what I had hoped. But sometimes with like Sermon or Brandon Ayuk was just, you know, barely used. It's weird. Shanahan said that Ayuk was partly because he'd come back from an injury.
I'm not worried about Ayuk.
I wouldn't be too worried either.
Yeah. suppose that Mostert news comes back on him. He's going to miss 6 weeks or some other significant period of time. How much of your budget are you going to be bidding on Elijah Mitchell?
I would say like 40, 35, 40, something like that. I know I might not get him, but you know, I feel like I'm not worried about Mostert. I just don't think he can hold up. So I think they're going to need somebody else to get a lot of the carries anyway. But I think in that backfield, it's kind of like Belichick's old backfields where one fumble, one mistake, one guy getting hot for a minute could change things. So I'd go pretty big because the upside's big, but I wouldn't go massive, huge because you might get something worthless.
19 carries for Elijah Mitchell, just one for Jermichael Hasty. So although it was a touchdown. But so there is that. But, you know, it's pretty clear that, you know, it is going to be Mitchell first if they continue. But Sermon will come back and he will be part of this picture. Don't drop Sermon. I'm with you on that, too. Yeah. The guild says who this guy. And by the way, he's a great player. He's winning my main event league. He says that's why you draft Mitchell everywhere. Yeah. That's right. If you have the 20 man spots, it's awesome. I have him in the faint is he was available in the 20th round too. That was the crazy thing.
Right.
Everywhere. So, but it's because there are four backs for us to speculate on.
I'll tell you something else. Like Marcus Callaway, he went in the 4th round in your league. He went in the 7th in mine.
Yeah.
And Dalton was giving me crap because I had him like 60th. You know, like
right.
I finally moved him up to like the 40s because I was like, okay, the market. I'm so out of step with the market here. I got to move him even though no one would get him. I was like, I got to like capitulate a little bit. And I was like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this guy's good. And look, it's one game. He might still be good. But then Traquan Smith is out in IR and I'm like, uh-oh, maybe I screwed up. So I started doubting that, you know, myself of being like, cause this guy had a good preseason game. He was an undrafted guy. He was basically like got very few targets last year and everyone's like drafting him. Like he's, you know, Devonta Smith, the 10th overall pick, going in the same round, sometimes ahead of him. Or Michael Pittman, the second round pick, who's in the second year. They're going in the same place. And I was like, well, Traquan Smith could be just as good. Like, why are we believing this? Then Traquan goes on IR. I'm like, uh-oh, maybe I screwed up. But I think the truth is that that is, you know, there's no way they can, especially with the receivers, there's no way they can say he's our guy. You know, it's not even like the running back where like there's actually a guy on top. The receivers, it's all about target share, and you really just can't know till the game starts.
Yep, that's true. That's true. Also, game flow matters here too with the case of Callaway. I mean, the Saints were winning the whole time here. They, you know, Winston only threw the ball 20 times, so they weren't really asking a whole lot.
But everyone else caught these long touchdowns. You know,
yep.
You'd think if you were open, he would have got a shot. But yeah, of course. Let's, you know, do not drop Marquez Callaway either. I mean, it's one game.
Right. A lot of these receivers, we got to be patient on here.
But I think what we did learn is that he's like, we don't know what's going to happen with Callaway. I don't think we could say he's a bust.
Right.
But I think we can say that, you know, he got two targets, that he's not clearly the go-to guy. And I think the reason you dropped in the 7th round, you were like, well, I don't know if it'll hold up, but he's clearly the go-to guy. And I think that assumption is gone. It's he could in the future become the go-to guy at some point before Michael Thomas returns, but he does not have that anymore. And that if we were to redraft again, that guy's going in like the 11th round or 12th round.
Probably. I think that's a good decision. If there's one thing we appreciate here, it's making good decisions at RotoWire and even more so making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly experience, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots. That's what Chris does every time he's in Vegas.
Of course I do.
Or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states. Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. Jeff and Chris here. We are recapping week 1. We made it through a whole segment, Chris, without talking about your Giants.
Yeah, let's just keep going with that. I don't need to talk about it. What was so disappointing about that was not that anything different happened, that it was exactly what it's been like the last 2 years. Like,
yep.
It would have been like it wasn't even like, oh, they're worse. It was like they're exactly the same. They're exactly the same team. The defense is okay. They gave up some tough fourth down conversions that there are a couple drives just for like fourth. They made it on fourth down. It was like really frustrating. But then they actually got lucky because KJ Hamler dropped an easy touchdown, a long touchdown. And then they got a fumble that Logan Ryan recovered. And then, you know, Judy gets hurt, which is going to cost me a win, but it's cost him probably 6 weeks. But
they're saying high ankle sprain with that, by the way. So we'll see.
6 weeks. Yeah. And it looked bad. I mean, it might be more. But anyway, because, you know, Michael Thomas basically lost his whole season to that, even though he was back for a little bit. So it was just a bad game. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is just good enough. Like, he just scrambled enough. He's not a great runner, but he got out of the pass rush. He completed some throws. They just were letting these guys run crossing routes and catch these short balls over the middle all day. And then the offense, like, the line is pretty bad. Danny Dimes made some throws, but he made some bad throws. And a lot of throws that toward the end were just, like, behind people. They were just, like, not good throws. Saquon looked healthy. He got his 10 carries and a couple of targets, but, you know, he just never really had any room. And he needs, like, a lot of carries because he needs to get stuffed 10 times with that line and then bust the 70-yarder. It's kind of how it works with him. Galladay looked healthy. I thought that was good. Shepard looked pretty sharp. He was making some catches. He caught the touchdown. And Dimes looks quick and fast.
That fumble was a killer, though.
It was such a stupid fumble, too, because he'd already kind of gotten to where he needed to go. And it's like, so his problem was pocket awareness, right? Like, just don't hold it too long. Get rid of it. He didn't get, you know, destroyed. He got sacked a couple times by Von Miller, but I think that was it. And he didn't fumble it from a sack, but that was just a stupid fumble because it was unnecessary. Like, when you're getting strip sacked, it's kind of hard when you're looking down the field, and that's pocket awareness. This was just sort of like bad ball security as he was already going to the ground. It wasn't like he was trying to like gain extra yards. So it was just a bad game, you know. It just, and then Joe Judge, I mean, I don't really care. Threw the challenge flag within 2 minutes. This is an error, but I don't think that guy's splitting the atom either. I'm pretty bearish. And again, if my team played like crap, I can just like move on to the next week. It's just that like it was such a continuation of all the things they did wrong the last 2 years that it was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. It there was a lot of similarities. It seemed like the same old Giants. You know, Shepard looked good. That was a good thing. I just, you know, Barkley did not get on track. He didn't have, you know, just didn't get that chance. There'll be better days probably. Denver's a pretty good defense. I think that's also one of the takeaways I'd say from this too.
They're a very good defense, and they were overmatched, and it wasn't a good like first defense to face. But and Saquon looked healthy. I mean, he looked fine, so he's gonna be good. But the offensive line is just, I don't know why. What is the problem? You know, they used the fourth pick on Andrew Thomas. They used the second round pick on Will Hernandez. You know, they invested in the offensive line and they just cannot get it together. Like they should have probably drafted. I mean, Tony maybe ended up being a good player. He didn't do much, barely had a role, but they should have just drafted best available lineman or something. Cause that's really, you know, or just kept the Justin Fields pick and just been like, all right, you know, Danny Dimes, you're not the answer. I still think Danny Dimes could be okay. I just want to see him behind a decent offensive line for once and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, he's an answer. It's just not, you just don't have the question right. But, you know, I don't know. It was frustrating if you're a Giants fan for sure. Bengals fan, I was going right in the roller coaster. I thought they were, you know, they looked really kind of rough for a while, but then they caught fire in the second quarter. Burrow looked good throwing a deep ball. They unlocked Ja'Marr Chase. Gotta love that. Joe Mixon actually looked pretty good. The pass rush was starting to get to him later in that game. Second half, they kind of went into a shell. But then in overtime, I mean, they got the break on the fumble call. That probably shouldn't – if that was not originally ruled a fumble by Dalvin Cook, they go to review on that. They don't overturn it. You know, it's one of those where it was inconclusive on the overturn either way. So what the original call was what really mattered, and they originally called it a fumble. So a rare Dalvin Cook fumble, and that was massive because – the Vikings were driving. They were going to win that game. The Bengals,
I was
were
sure when
it
went
time
to overtime, the Vikings were going to win. I was like, the Bengals, they couldn't put it away. They let him back in. they're going to lose. It's so Bengals to do that. And I was pissed because I took the Bengals plus three. And I was like, I'm going to get a push on this. They'll probably score a touchdown. I'll get a loss. And I was happy to see them win, Jeff. I was actually hoping for a tie because I still would have covered. And I don't, you know.
And that would be so Bengals. Yep, I get it. Yeah.
But, I good for them. They covered the spread. That's the most important.
Two different fourth down plays were huge in that game. The first one was idiotic. As someone who cries all the time when teams punt, they needed to punt. It was on their own 30, fourth and one. Mixon slipped. He might have been if he hadn't slipped, he might have been able to connect and get that first down. Regardless, it was bad situation, and you're up 21-7 at the time. It gave the Vikings life. Then they connected on their own fourth down to get that touchdown. That was huge. Thielen had both of them there. That was pretty massive for him. Big game for him. But it swung everything. You know, the Bengals were cruising before that. Cousins wasn't sustaining long drives. And then that just kind of changed the nature of the game. It got a little frantic at the end too. And, you know, a two-minute drill is completely different. You know, the pass rushers get worn out. They don't get any pressure on Cousins. He's able to move the team quickly to get him in a field goal position. Like, here we go again. But then in overtime, the Bengals, after that fumble, they had their own fourth down play from midfield. That was the ballsiest call I've seen in a long time. Did they, instead of running it right into the pile, look like it was going to do again? Did that really good play action, set the, you know, went to the tight end. No one thought to cover him. Big 20-yard play. You know, I think the Vikings were thinking they were trying to get drawn offside. I don't think the Bengals were going to run a play.
Believe. Yeah. They thought that Zach Taylor was a nutless monkey and wasn't going to do it. They didn't believe. It's like, you know, a poker, you know, you just think some guy is going to fold or something and he doesn't, you know, it's a problem. You think you could bluff somebody. Yeah, that was a big win. I thought, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, I expected the preseason to be noise. And he was one of my FOMO guys late. I was like, I didn't get any Chase.
Mm-hmm.
His price didn't drop that much because of the preseason. A little bit, maybe half a round. But most of the sharp NFFC guys were still taking him in 6th, 7th round. They weren't, you know, he wasn't slipping beyond that. But I kind of felt like this guy's like considered one of the best receiving prospects in the last several years. He's with his old quarterback. There's just no way that preseason is going to be determinative of how well he does. But one thing also, I almost drafted Boyd in the 7th in my prime time, which is going to lose, by the way, but mostly because of Herbert and a couple other things. But I almost drafted him, and I thought, you know what? We think Boyd is this like 85 catch, like solid floor guy, but I'm like, is that going to be the case with two other guys in the same receiving core that are way more dynamic than him?
Well, I want to see what happens once like defenses shift over to Chase a little bit. You know, I'm sure they weren't giving they weren't prioritizing their coverage schemes for him. You know, I think they realize who he is and all that. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I don't think that they necessarily were like, we're gonna focus on him and shut him down. But I think for instance, the 2-minute drill, the long play, I mean, it was one-on-one coverage there, and hell of a job by Burrow, you know, connecting on a deep throw. It took him like 7 weeks to connect on one more than 20 yards last year. I mean, it was ridiculous how bad it was over 20 yards. I'm exaggerating just by a little bit. It took him forever to connect on deep balls. It's amazing when you've got a guy like Chase that can get separation more so than AJ Green.
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day. And then also, right, like Higgins is a problem too. You know, he's really big. He's gonna beat guys one-on-one too. So you can't double everybody. And also, it's hard to double guys down the field, right? I mean, it's easier to double them when they're, you know, running short and intermediate routes. But if they get on the defense, you can send a safety there. But now that safety is totally out of the play if the ball doesn't go there. So,
right.
I think that, I don't know, Boyd may get his 85, but if someone gets hurt or whatever. But I feel like, you know, they've got two guys that are like, you know, Higgins looks like a real player and a playmaker. And then if Chase is a generational guy, I mean, Boyd is fine if like there's nothing there, but it just seems like he's not going to be like as heavily featured.
That's right. Quick note from our friends at Fantasy Stand. Playing fantasy sports is so much fun, but once you dive deeper fighting against other players for a percentage of the pot, there might be sharks. Even when your fantasy team crushes it, those skilled pros like Chris List may leave you without a single cent. Luckily, the days of having a great score and not getting loot are over. With Fantasy Stand, you're playing against the house. If you reach the threshold, you win. It's that simple. Sorry, baby sharks. To participate, choose a free or paid entry contest in the lobby. For salary cap, you have to pick 9 players while staying at or under the salary cap. For Pick'em, you simply pick 1 player from each tier they are presented with. Done. Now sit back and watch the results to see if your fantasy team has what it takes to stand out from the rest. Come out as the high scorer. Get ready for additional prizes. So where do you stand? Visit fantasystand.com to sign up today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Thanks to Fantasy Stand and thanks to our Blue Wire sponsors for your sponsorship and ability to carry a podcast on this network. Talking with Chris Lewis, we are recapping week one. A few other things to kind of to discuss here before we sign out today. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, we could go on for 3 hours and just break everything down, but yeah. I don't want to do that. No one really wants us to do that. But anyways, a couple other things I wanted to discuss a little bit there. I was really impressed with Philly, both offensively and defensively. I think you kind of were all over Jalen Hurts. Even if you didn't get him in a ton of leagues, you were always talking him up, always suggesting he's that guy that has the potential to break out. He looked good. The Philly running game looked good, and the defense looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders, I have him in more leagues than I intended. It wasn't a guy I was targeting, but he just kept falling. And I kept thinking in the fourth round or fifth round, late fifth in the prime time, like, this guy was going in the first round last year, and mm-hmm. the whole defense collapsed. People don't realize. People are like, oh, he had a bad year. He fumbled a bunch. He dropped some passes. Okay, but look at what happened. They had the quarterback at the time that he was benched that led the league in turnovers, in interceptions, fumbles, and sacks taken. You cannot sustain drives. You cannot feed a running back under those conditions. And yeah. then the last couple of games, Hurts comes in and Sanders does well. And remember, he was the first round pick last year. So it just seemed like that was an easy one. He looked really good. He caught a few passes. Problem is Gainwell, who actually is his backup, not Boston Scott, which is one of those things that could have gone the other way. You know, preseason, right. You assume Gainwell. He's being drafted that way, but it ends up being Boston Scott. It was Gainwell, and he looked really good. So I have a bunch of those guys and both of those guys, and I think this is going to be a real offense. The offensive line is healthy. Rieger and Devonta Smith caught touchdowns. Goddard caught a touchdown. You know, Ertz didn't do as much. I kind of liked Ertz as a sleeper, but so far not much. But this offense is good, and the defense, as you said, looked good. Now, Atlanta's not a great team, but
yeah,
I think, you know, I'd take them over the Cowboys to win the NFC East. I mean, I think the football team has a good defense, and we could talk about how that game went down, but I think the Eagles could be the favorite in the NFC East right now.
Yeah. Andy McGill asks, is Philly's D that good, or is Dave Rangone just the Matt Nagy of talent utilization? You know, I was disappointed with the number of targets Ridley and Pitts got, but I kind of think some of this is on Matt Ryan too. It's not just the offensive coordinator and the play calling. I wonder if there's a big decline phase here for Matt Ryan. Sometimes these guys turn and they turn to dust pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? We're used to, you know, we're looking at Brady at 44 and Drew Brees was 41 last year, and but Peyton was done at 39 or whatever, you know, and it wasn't just the neck thing. I mean, he was fine with the neck thing the first year. I wouldn't say fine, but, you know, he was okay. Yeah. And then he just couldn't do it anymore. Ryan's 36. He's not that old, but, you know, not everybody is the all-time Hall of Fame greats that can, you know, that sometimes, you know, it's, you see this in baseball, that 32 or 33 is when they're done, or 35 is when they're done, you know, and it's not everybody plays like Ted Williams till they're 41 or something and it's still good. So I don't know. And I said, you know, Kyle Pitts, everyone said, oh, you know, where's the generational guy there? He got 8 targets. Ridley got 8 targets. Neither of them did anything. But I think if Matt Ryan is not done, those guys will be fine. If Matt Ryan is done, uh-oh, we got a problem. But I would still, I moved him down slightly, but I wouldn't be too panicked about either one of those guys.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. So, you know, yeah, we'll see. I mean, if I'm holding on to Ryan in a couple places where I have him, but like, for instance, I have him in the classic, but I also have him backed up with Trevor Lawrence. You know, it's like, I mean, he's the backup around. To Trevor Lawrence. Yes. Lawrence had his typical struggles, by the way, rookie struggles. All the rookie quarterbacks lost yesterday.
Lawrence put up big numbers. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just going to do it. I mean, the athleticism, arm strength, everything's there. He looks good. He made some bad decisions, but like DJ Chark's going to catch long touchdowns. Chenault, to me, he just seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about him. I didn't draft him, but like, it just seems like he's a short pass catcher. Like he's like a poor man's Debo Samuel, like a slightly slower Debo Samuel. Maybe he's a little bigger, but that there's not like that vertical game with him. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Marvin Jones caught some passes. I think that they're going to be in shootouts. If they couldn't stop the Texans, I don't think their defense is really going to hold the line very much. So they're going to be in shootouts. And God, you got to love Jonathan Taylor, because not only did he get a lot of work, but against like the Texans, Titans, and Jaguars twice each. Oh, man. That schedule is so good.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, the Jaguars were horrible. They were really awful. Urban Meyer, God, why, you know, you have, I mean, they were playing from behind, so there weren't that many runs to begin with, but he was splitting time with Carlos Hyde. Just gross. Just stop.
Apparently Robinson ran a lot of routes and was on the field more, so that people I was reading were saying, maybe it was Jerry Donabedian said, don't panic on Robinson. Usage stats were all right. But I do, you know, I think we do focus, and it's usually right, these usage stats. I was looking at some of them, like CEH got like a huge percentage of the snaps, but like, I just don't think they're going to check down. So he's going to have design plays to him. Otherwise, he's not going to catch a lot of passes. And if he doesn't catch a lot of passes, I just don't think he's that great, or that he's going to score that many touchdowns. Like, you know, I think they throw the ball a ton, you know, and if he's not a huge part of that, it's just hard to see the ceiling for him. So usage is nice, but it's got to be, you know, good usage, not just snap count, but like in the passing game. By contrast, Christian McCaffrey, I thought, okay, this is something I didn't realize. I thought, okay, McCaffrey was hurt all last year. He's like 5'10", 5'11", 205. He's very slight, hurt all last year, signed to a big contract. And I'm like, all right, they draft Chuba Hubbard. And I'm like, they're going to go easier on McCaffrey. They're going to give him 220 carries or something like that. McCaffrey gets every single running back carry, right? 21 carries, 1 for DJ Moore, 5 for the quarterback.
Right.
And catch leads the team in receiving with 9 targets, catches all 9 for 89 yards. They are not going easy on McCaffrey. McCaffrey, as long as he holds up, is 1.1 with the bullet still. And the idiocy that I did to get the 9th pick, even though I ended up getting the first choice, where I got Zeke and Najee Harris, and I felt good about that. I was at least able to bench Zeke for Kenneth Gainwell after his game Thursday night. So I got a few extra
points. That's crazy. That wasn't enough.
But I mean, you know, Zeke got 5 points. I'm like, I'll take my chances on Gainwell. But yeah, that, you know, but Najee Harris got every carry also. He got all 16 carries. He was on the field the whole time. And I do think Pittsburgh, I don't know. I don't know how, if their running game is just really that bad or Buffalo stout. But we can't just look at these usage patterns in a vacuum. We really have to look at it and say, well, yeah, Najee Harris did not get targets. The Steelers couldn't run at all. They couldn't run last year. And yeah, it's great he's on the field. Mike Tomlin's doing the Mike Tomlin thing, but I'm still a little nervous about my Najee Harris shares.
Yeah, for sure. I'm nervous for you. I don't have any of them, but that's weird.
Get to Najee Davenport, you know, level.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Something, something closet. But anyways, let's take one more commercial note here from our friends at Vivid Seats. Preseason football has wrapped up and we're ready for the regular season to kick off this week. Live events are making a comeback and there's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to get back into the action. So grab your NFL tickets and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Man, that feels great to say. Even better, they just launched a new and improved rewards program with free tickets for every fan. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game, your favorite artist, or that new show everyone is talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. We were talking about that Bills-Steelers game. Bills, a pretty big disappointment there too. And they started with a big surprise, you know, the healthy scratch of Zach Moss. I was like, I thought Moss was you know, there was all this talk. Moss is ahead of Singletary. Singletary might get cut. I saw that on my timeline at the beginning of training camp. He was a healthy scratch. Singletary got like 79% snap share. Now, again, it's a Bills running back, so there's a limited upside still there. So it's kind of funny. The answer is you really don't want any of them there because you don't want to have to start them.
I have Singletary in a couple places, and I was perfectly content to start him in my 14-team very deep roster league, and he got me like 70 yards or something.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
They don't catch a lot of passes, although Singletary caught 38 last year, so it wasn't a total zero. And he's not going to catch like 50, but he might catch, well, if he were the only guy, he would. And he's not going to get a lot of touchdowns because Josh Allen runs in so many touchdowns and they throw so much. But, I mean, you know, we're not all, you know, in the 8-team leagues that you play in, Jeff. Sometimes we need to go a little deeper and start the Bills running back.
Dude, I'm in the 16-teamer. I don't want to even hear it. 16-teamer and I lost Gus Edwards. It's like,
Did you draft him at the new cost or the old cost?
The new cost, yeah. Well, it was actually setting the cost. I mean, it was one of those, like, it happened, you know, it was the day after Dobbin's injury. And it was a slow draft. And we're just like, okay. I think, you know, it was like, in 16-teamer, and so it's fourth round and a 16-teamer. It's like, in a 12-rounder, that's a fifth round. You know, okay, fine. And that was my second running back. That's the thing. It's like, and then you had to wait a really long time to get the next one there, and then you have to make these tough decisions. It's brutal.
Yeah, it's tough. I have some problems. I lost all my NFFC matches. I'm winning most of all my other ones, but like those are the lower stakes one. I might go 5-4, and if you count the keeper league, 6-4. But the four that I lost are really the ones that hurt. And they were more, you know, it's like the first 2 weeks, you got to get above half, right? So I think I'm like going to be eighth in those. I don't know. I got to see because there's a lot of guys who still have Monday night players.
But so the online classic, it's, you know, it's half and half. And I'm just sitting on the edge in one of them there. I'm fifth right now, but I'm done. I'm like, it's best ball. No, it's not. Yeah, I'm, you know, it's not best ball. So then you're like, why did I make this decision? Why did I do that decision? Like, I didn't start Mike Williams. I started Michael Pittman, who I drafted after him. Oh, because of the windfall effect there.
That's so funny. I subbed in Elijah Moore at the last minute for somebody in the prime time. I can't remember who it was. And that really hurt, man. You know, and then also I had Herbert starting, who had like 20 points, and on my bench was Trevor Lawrence with like 38 or something. So but you know, I could have started him in the Texans, but I wasn't going to play first start ever over, you know, the quarterback I had ranked fourth overall. So I just did it. Who did I start? Who did I put in Elijah Moore for? Oh, no, that's not the one. I'm looking at Trey Sermon, but that's a different league. I got to look at this because this.
Well, I did Elijah Moore over Michael Gallup in a couple of leagues, and that.
Well, that's a little bit, but I did Elijah Moore over. I did him over Elijah Mitchell. There was no one to risk. Well, Jalen Reagor. Oh, Mike Evans. That's what happened. That wouldn't have made that much of a difference. Mike Evans had his dud game on Thursday night. And so I just subbed in Elijah Moore for him because, you know, you're going to take a random guy rather than 5 points. So that's what it was.
Yeah. How about with Cleveland too? I was like, Donovan Peoples-Jones. We could use him now that we've got – now that OBJ is not playing. No, right. It's Schwartz. Anthony Schwartz, the rookie out of Auburn. That's who you really wanted to have. It's like, yeah. It really is amusing to me to see the, you know, just, oh, okay. You assumed this, you thought it was one way, but it's the other. Definitely a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I'm going to lose despite having Gronk go for 29. So that's tough, but it is what it is. 1 week. I you know, you can't really, if you want to win the one of these, you know, leagues, you got to go like, you know, 9-4. You know, I mean, you can't go 7-7. I mean, you can't lose that many games. You have like right. four. It's almost like it's not quite college football. But you just really can't lose. So you lose one, it's pretty bad. Like, because, you know, you always, the teams are always like 9-2, you know, through 11 weeks that are in first place. It's not like,
right.
You know, sometimes you have a very condensed league where everybody has the same record because they're, it's well balanced. But yeah, so I got to, you know, got to figure it out. But I kind of like the team. The team did okay. It was just, you know, a couple of guys didn't do very well.
Yeah. One other game we haven't really talked a whole lot about yet was Arizona and Tennessee. I was aggressively wrong with this one, too. I thought Tennessee would win. I thought they'd cover. I thought, you know, at worst, this is a matchup of even teams. But Arizona dominated this game. Chandler Jones was running roughshod through that offensive line. They did not protect Tannehill at all. Just an awful game for Tannehill. An awful, you know, he got a rushing TD and a passing TD, so it's going to end up looking okay. Even the kicker was terrible for Tennessee. I mean, they got Badgley because I think their other kicker got hurt. So they brought in Badgley at the last second. He lost, you know, he lost a lot of playing time, you know, lost the job in San Diego, or not San Diego, with the Chargers, you know, and he showed why he lost that job.
He's like on his 15. He's one of those just like merry-go-round kickers that, you know, gets signed when somebody gets hurt or is terrible. They got destroyed, and it was, I mean, their defense, you really want to face their defense because the Cardinals were just having fun. And the FOMO I had on Murray was, you know, I was feeling that him and Chase, there were a few guys that I was like, I wish I'd gotten them.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And I was like, man, it's really painful to watch. The one guy, Hopkins, who I got in three leagues, I thought I got him in two, but I had undercounted. I realized like I took him in the second round over Ridley and I took him over AJ Brown in the first two times. And, you know, I like Dalton was mocking me, like, how are you taking this old guy? You know, whatever. I'm like, I don't know. Hopkins walks out of bed and gets 110 catches. But
yeah,
the game start, you realize the guy's like Hopkins 1 week. But like, I just like appreciate that guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy. Right.
Yeah.
The guy that I used to not draft because he wasn't very fast and just average size, but just catches absolutely anything in his vicinity and always gets his feet in bounds in the end zone or wherever. That was kind of fun. So, you know, no one's drafting Christian Kirk, although Rondell Moore had a good game, too. But that they're not going to face Tennessee every week, so I don't think we want to get that excited. And right. Murray did not run very much. He scored a touchdown, but he only had 20 yards. But they just made it look easy.
There's a couple interesting contrasts in divisions. The AFC South looked terrible. Houston won. The team that we thought might go winless, you know, thought we were, you know, it was punting. Well, they're the only team in that division that won. The Colts got beat pretty comfortably. And of course, you know, we saw what happened with Tennessee. They got smoked. The NFC West looks stacked. Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, and the Niners all rolled.
All good teams,
Although the Niners made it more interesting than it should have been, but it really wasn't. It took it took onside kicks to make it look more interesting.
41-17.
Yeah.
They scored with 153 at 41-17. At the 2 minute warning, it was a 24 point margin.
Right.
And the Lions had the ball in like at the 30-yard line with like, you know, 35 seconds left to tie the game, basically. They should have kicked the field goal because they would have covered.
Right. And we all would have been happy.
It would have been the greatest backdoor. You have a very small chance of actually tying because you still got to win in overtime, even if you make the two. Yeah. But the field goal was a given. And why wouldn't you want to have the greatest cover in history? Just give up the game, just give up the remote chance of winning. Get the greatest cover in history. It's just like overusing your pitcher for a perfect game. You know, it's like, okay, it may not be in our optimal best interest, but we'll get the perfect game. It's worth it. Just kick the field goal. You're the Lions. Get the greatest.
Late in the week, the line moved to some people got like up to 9 points on that. And so they got that cover. You and I, we got screwed because we had to do it earlier for staff picks. Yeah. And it was at 7.5.
We didn't get screwed. We should have taken the Niners, is what we should have done.
Yeah, it was the right side for most of the game. You're right about that. So, yeah, there is that too. And then the NFC North looked terrible. The Vikings, at least they went to overtime on the road, and they had a nice little comeback.
The Vikings looked amazing. They almost beat the Bengals. What a crowd!
I know, huge, huge. But
they were the
Packers.
They were the best. Yeah,
yeah. Packers got murder, death, killed. You know, the Bears got smoked in LA. You know, they got it to within like 7 at one point, but then the Rams took care of business again there. And then the Lions, I mean, again, they had to have the miracle almost cover. And that's not exactly great either there. And they look so exploitable too. Their defense is awful. Again, Okuda got hurt in that one too. He was getting crushed before that, but I guarantee you his replacement's not better than him. So we'll see about that. But anyways, any other parting thoughts before we sign off?
Biggest takeaway is the Eagles, I think, and that their offense looks pretty good. I know it was an easy matchup, but I think that's going to be a team that's going to – people are going to invest in. And the Texans were, like, actually a real team. I mean, it was like people thought they were going 0-17, and some people used the Jaguars and Survivor, and they, you know, they just traded away.
They deserve to lose on that.
They traded away their cornerback. You know, their best corner is like they're giving up, everyone thinks, and then they have a blowout win in week one. So I thought those are the two big stories.
Yep, exactly right. All right, that's going to conclude today's podcast. I want to thank WinBet. I want to thank you guys for chiming in on the comments there. Appreciate it. We will be back at you again tomorrow with Jake and Joe. We have a lot of waiver wire suggestions for you. I'll be back with a guest to be named later for Wednesday's podcast, and we'll be on every single day this week. Thanks for listening. Good luck on Monday night. Take care.